give the good Lord praise and
hallelujah.
Thank him for letting us be here another day's journey. Amen. We do thank all our visitors who are here for being with us. And we hope you have enjoyed your time of worship with us today. Amen. And we are going to go right ahead without any further delay. And get into the word. There is a word from the Lord. Amen. We're going to ask you to just listen to a few verses. Today, we have a unique opportunity in listening to God's word. We're actually going to read an entire psalm in its entirety this morning. Amen. Don't think that means that it's not going to be Psalm 119 in case you were concerned, but we're actually going to read the shortest of the Psalms, Psalm number 117, in its entirety. You have it on your handout there, if you have one. If not, open your Bible to Psalms 117 from the Psalter. And we're going to also look in the New Testament, John 13. Amen. And you know that's our kind of our key verse for the whole year is John 13. We've been talking about how to learn to love like Jesus.
Like Jesus.
This whole year.
Yes.
Amen. So we're going to look at verses 13 and John number 13. That's Big John, as we call it around here. Big John 13 to 20. Right. Amen. And we have before us the KJV. So let's read Psalms 117 in its entirety. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. That's the entire psalm. Did you know that? Amen. You read a whole psalm, and you tell somebody you didn't do nothing else today. You didn't read an entire psalm. Amen. We're going to go right ahead. John number 13, Big John 13:13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If then have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than him that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know chosen, but he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Amen. Selected verses from John 13. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord in the sanctuary. And may God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. And I'd like to use for a subject today, extending the protective covering of supernatural love. Amen. Extending the protective covering of supernatural love. Amen. What God has shown to me and you is what I like to think of as supernatural love. Amen. It's supernatural because it's not natural or normal. It's not a thing that you and I would do naturally or normally to love someone, particularly when you look at the relationship between God and man and how much stuff man does against God. You would almost think that it would be just the opposite. You wouldn't be expecting that God would continue to love.
No way.
When he sees all the atrocities that go on planet Earth.
Yes.
Against the truth. But the fact is, God is love, the Bible
says.
He is. And he never changes. This is one good thing you can always count on. And it's, if there's a problem with the relationship between God and men, the problem falls on the side of men. It's not on God's side. Because God loves you, and he loves you right now, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done. Do you realize that most of the people that you read about, even when you read your Bible, you find out they were, possibly many of them, let's say, were on the other side. They were against God. People like the Apostle Paul, who hated the church. when it was first revealed in the back in the days, 2,000 years or more back, he hated the church. Yeah. But God loved Paul.
Yeah.
At that time, he was known as Saul.
Yeah.
And he was against everything that Jesus taught.
Yeah.
Until God got a hold of him on the Damascus Road.
Yeah.
Y'all know the story.
Yeah.
And so what I'm talking about is once he learned that God loved him, even though he was against God, which is the case with many people who get saved.
Yeah. Yep.
Sometimes people just don't know God or they don't understand who God is and what God has done. But the fact is, he left me and you here to represent him, to let everyone know that he loves you.
That's right. Amen.
You haven't done anything for which he will not forgive you.
That's right.
See, and that's good news.
Yes, it is.
It's good news that God fixed it so that even though he is perfectly holy and without a flaw, without a spot, without a blemish, that people like me who don't do everything perfectly right can have a proper relationship with him.
Yeah.
And that is by faith in his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Bible simply puts it this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, now he gives a blanket invitation to whosoever believes in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. So even though there are people with a disposition against God, God still loves them. And what he did for all. If he did it for one, he did it for all. And the reason being, God is an eternal being who never changes. So God loved man when he made him, and y'all have heard some of this is repetition for some of you who study with us all the time. When he made man, he loved him.
That's right.
See, created everything, the heavens and the earth, first, before he ever made man. Then on the sixth day, after everything was made, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all those things that we've made. So you can see, God loves you so much, he gifted the whole world and the heavens and the earth to mankind. So man is the one that's twisted and out of the way. It's not God. God cannot change. That's one of the doctrines that is great that we hope you think about all the time, is the doctrine of the immutability of God. In other words, God cannot change. He does not change. And then there's a good reason, because the reason is, what is there to change? If you're absolutely perfect, you don't need to be changed. You do not change because everything about you is perfect. It's without a flaw. It's without a blemish, you see. But the ones who were subject to change were those who were born of the seed of Adam. After Adam's sin, we all became subject to change. So man is the one who is out of the way, not God. But the people who understand who God is, like in the likeness of Saul of Tarsus that we briefly alluded to, he, once he understood these things that we're explaining to you today, he was able to turn around 180 degrees, get off of a track against God and get on track with God.
Yes.
And so that's what we're hoping everyone will do.
Amen.
The church was left into the world to broadcast the good news that God gave his son in order to make this possible for you.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who you are. No matter what you have done, no matter what your present status is, God left me on record and all the rest of the church to tell those who don't understand or know that he loves you just like you are. He has made a way for you. And if there's a breach in the relationship, it's not from his end that there is a problem.
That's right.
The problem is on the end of the one who does not accept God, as it was in the case of Saul of Tarsus. God's message was always designed to go out to every man, woman, boy, and girl. In all of time, every human being that has been born has had the ability to either walk with God or reject God. You have a choice.
Yes.
You can only do one or the other. You have to be with him. That's why Jesus put verses like this in Matthew 12, verse 30. He says, he who is not with me is against me.
Right.
See, either with him or you're against him.
Right.
You only can stand in one of two places.
Yeah.
Some folks like to say, well, you know, I'm on the fence. Well, you're against him.
Right.
Because if you're not with him, you are against him.
Right.
You can only be in one of two places.
That's right.
Either you are with God or you're against God.
Right.
See, and God has one way to make every man, woman, boy, and girl right with him, and that is by faith in his son, Jesus Christ. That's the reason why God configured this whole world around his son. See, it's 2019 because that's how long it's been since Jesus was born.
That's right.
So people can tell you about all these other things they call God, but there's only one who's in the center of time around the globe. And that's not just in America. That's in Afghanistan. That's in India. That's in Tokyo. Anywhere you go around this planet is centered on God's Son, Jesus Christ. So God did that so it would be easy for you to embrace His program and His plan. Now, it's the purpose of the church, and the reason we name this message this is because we are extending to other people who don't know and understand God's proclamation that He has given His Son, who pays the bill for all of their sin, no matter who they are, no matter what they have done, in order for them to be able to stand before Him and be justified. Justified means just as though I have not sinned.
Yes.
See, that's what it means. When the Most High Court takes the gavel and says not guilty, that means you're exonerated from every wrong that you have done.
Right.
And this good news we call the gospel.
Yes.
It's provided by God because He gave the Son to provide a protective covering for everybody, even though we're not right.
Amen.
See, that's the beautiful thing about the gospel. I'm not perfect, even though I trust and believe the gospel. You know what? I'm getting better.
Amen.
If you believe in Christ, you're getting better.
Amen.
You're not the best yet.
Amen.
But God has given His best in order to receive you just like you are.
Amen.
That's why it's gospel.
Yes.
Because no matter what I have done, no matter where I stand in life, if I trust in His Son, He accepts me right now.
Amen.
By faith in Him alone and nothing else.
Yes.
Some people don't understand. I didn't understand when I first heard the gospel. What is that? Y'all heard me say this before, some of y'all, so don't let me bore you. But the fact is, what gospel? It was an interesting word, but it was music to my ears some kind of way, but I didn't really understand what makes a gospel. It's gospel because even though I'm a wretch, undone, God has given His Son, who was without a flaw, without a spot, without a blemish, who went through everything you went through. He's different than Adam, because Adam wasn't born, He was created. But Jesus was born. He went through everything you did, except His Father was God, the Holy Spirit. So He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And God had designed women so that that would not contaminate the process that brought about the ability for His Son to become flesh. That's why John says in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, but God's message has been given to me and you to let everybody know that God has to solve the problem if there's a breach in our relationship.
Yeah.
It's not something we can do ourselves. It's something He has already done.
That's right.
And you and I are called to extend this message of His protective covering. I call it protective covering because whoever trusts in Christ, the Bible says, will not perish.
Yeah.
To perish means to receive the wrath and the judgment of God eternally. That means to be cast out of His presence into hell, as the scripture says. Some people don't like to talk about hell.
That's right.
But Jesus preached more about hell than He did anything else.
Yes, He did.
And so the fact is, those who trust Him don't have to worry about hell.
Right.
The ones who believe Him will never be in hell.
Never.
You can be assured of it right now today. Why? Because you are under the protective covering of the supernatural love of God.
Yeah.
And I say it's supernatural because it's not like human love. We got a lot of distorted views of what we think love is.
Amen.
See, but God's view of love is the most pure, the most righteous, the most holy.
Mm-hmm.
It is the highest form of love that there is. The Greeks had to come up with a word agape to describe this love, unconditional love that He offers to everyone, and He offers it equally to everyone, because you know why? Nobody deserves it.
That's right.
It's something He purposed within Himself to make available for every man, woman, boy, and girl.
Yeah.
So He gave His Son, and He put some skin in the game, I always like to say. You see, He didn't just sit up on a cloud and say, this is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
The Word became flesh.
That's right.
And dwelt among us. John says, and we beheld His glory. Jesus was, the first advent of Christ was the most glorious thing the world has ever seen up to this point.
Amen.
See, And you know, the only thing that's going to top it is the second advent of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says he will return in like manner as you have seen him go.
Amen.
In between time, we call this period the church age.
Church age, right.
This is where the called out people like me and you who trust Christ
mm-hmm.
and believe that God raised him from the dead,
mm-hmm.
which is the proof that he is God.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he got out of the grave
yeah.
lets me and you know no one else has ever done that
mm-hmm.
successfully and continues to live, there wouldn't be a church if Jesus hadn't gotten out of the grave.
Amen.
The grave is the most depressing thing you and I ever have to deal with in life. So God defeated the grave when he gave his son, allowed him to go through life showing you that he was God, God the Son. He did it for 33 and a half years he was here dwelling among men. But he was showing off the power of God, his Father. That's why he healed the sick and gave sight to the blind, raised the dead. He did all that, fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. He was showing off that he was God. He spoke to tornadoes and storms and said, stop that, peace be still. And they obeyed him. He was here showing that he was God who had authority over all these things that seemed to be a problem to mankind. It was always in God's word that he promised to save everyone who trusts him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we pull up the psalmist here today. Y'all might wonder, how do we get on Psalms 117? Well, Psalms 117 is one place in the Old Covenant, in the Psalter, we call it, which is the collection of the Psalms, the 5 books of Psalms in the poetic literature in the Old Testament, that tells you something, gives you some insight into the fact that God is for all the people. And we have to make sure we preach that clearly today, because we live in a time when people want to talk about political correctness and all of that. I'm talking about biblical correctness up in here. So I want you to understand, God loves everyone. Every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. That means everybody from around the world, anywhere in any nation. Like that song we sing, people from every nation and tongue.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So we are given the extended love of God to the world by telling them the truth, what thus saith the Lord. The psalmist knew this even in a time when God was exclusively dealing with the Jews. At the time the Psalms were written, the Jewish people were the vehicle through which God communicated to the world. Notice what the psalmist says, oh, praise the Lord. Notice who he's talking to, all ye nations. That's not just the Jews. That's all the nations. That word in the Hebrew is the goyim, which are the Gentiles, is sometimes translated. That's the other people other than the Jews. So they have an extended message that they're sending out to the world here in this psalm. The Jews didn't even really see that. It was cloaked in their psalms that God was preaching to the entire world. But they always thought we were an exclusive people, and in some sense they were. Because it would be through them that he would deliver the Messiah to the world, who is Jesus the Christ.
Yes.
And through him he would also provide salvation for whoever believes in him. But the psalmist was speaking in the Holy Spirit. And he said, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations.
Yes.
You see that?
Yes.
He's calling on every man, woman, boy, and girl, just as we are here today.
Yes.
Praise him, all ye people.
Yes.
The word people is a similar word in the Hebrew. For his merciful kindness is great toward us.
Yes.
And the truth of the Lord endureth forever.
Yes.
Praise ye the Lord.
Lord.
See that?
Yes.
So the truth of God was even there present in that psalm. And the Jews somehow got it twisted. Now don't get on their back, because many of us today have it twisted. We don't understand what God is really doing. And see, this is why we need to hear good messages, so we can understand God is trying to get your neighbor. Whether they be an immigrant or wherever they came from doesn't make any difference. You see, God wants every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people to be saved.
Yeah.
He has provided one way for that to happen.
Amen.
And you and I get to have the privilege to be able to preach Jesus Christ to the multitudes.
Yeah.
See, and you know what? We need to preach it right here in our own city, much less to the multitudes. People want to know what's wrong with the community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's wrong with the community is people don't fear the Lord.
Amen.
So therefore, they're lawless.
That's right.
And that's what happens when you don't fear the Lord.
That's it.
Fear of the Lord is just giving him his due respect.
That's it.
Giving him his propers, as you
Amen.
Might say.
Right.
See, we used to have that instilled in the culture.
Yes, we did.
And we kind of phased it out of listening to folks who don't trust God. Mm-hmm. To a point where we took prayer out of schools and we took the Ten Commandments off of stuff and we're trying to get rid of the God we trust. And mm-hmm. we act like we're an anti-God culture. Mm-hmm. And then when people go act a fool and do what they're naturally going to do because they're sinners, we go, oh, what's the problem?
Yeah.
How about the problem is you dismissed God about 50 years ago. Now you got a culture of folks who don't even know God.
Yeah.
Have not heard anything about the goodness and the mercy of God. Mm-hmm. Don't realize their own personal need of who of having a relationship with God and that people are important to God.
Yes.
All of them.
Amen.
See, there's no prejudice is a terrible sin. We see that all the time.
All the time.
And we want to pick particular prejudice and be mad about it. Instead of all of it, like God is. See, God is for every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. But we want to make it a kind of a secular, kind of a segmented kind of thing where we're only talking about certain kinds of prejudice. No, God is against all of it. See, and he loves all the people.
Yes, he
does. And you can see it there in Psalms 117. And we zoom in now, I want you to see that even taking a cursory look at this entire psalm, which is the shortest in the Psalter, it reveals that God has maintained a desire to extend his protective covering and his great mercy not only to his chosen covenant people, but also to the Gentiles, whom the psalmist is calling on to praise God for his mercies and his enduring truth. You see that?
Yes.
And that's in the Old Testament. We haven't even cracked the cover over to the New Testament yet.
Mm.
But understand this now. Now we zoom in quickly for our meditation this morning, and I'll be done hopefully in a minute here. You call me master, Jesus said. Now this scene is where Jesus is now preparing to go to the cross.
Amen.
He has gathered his 12 together, and they're about to receive what we call the Last Supper. They're sitting around arguing about who's going to be the best and who's going to be this, that, and the other in the kingdom.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Jesus girds himself with a towel. Y'all hear me talk about this on Communion Sunday quite often. And he's over by the door with a basin and a towel around his waist, beginning to wash their feet as they argue about who's the best, who's going to sit on his left, who's going to sit on his right. And then they look around and, what, are you down there on the floor, Lord, washing our feet? They were appalled.
Yep.
Peter even said, oh Lord, I'll never let you wash my feet. He got indignant with Jesus. But Jesus was showing him, he said, Simon, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. He said, oh, okay, then we'll wash my head and my hands, and he wanted to take a bath then. You see, so, but he was showing them some humility that they had not learned. He's teaching. He's on his way to the cross. I'm about to go shed my blood, take many stripes, and be wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, chastised for your peace, that by my stripes you might be healed. And I'm showing you on my way, you need to get a little bit more humble. You need to understand who I am. He notice what he says here. If then your Lord and Master has washed your feet, he also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. He's still teaching. He's in the upper room and he's teaching. Trying to let them see that I am the true Passover. I'm about to be offered as a lamb without a spot or a blemish for you. But in the meantime, let me help get you together.
Amen.
Let me get you off your high mountain and get you down where you belong.
Yes.
That you should be a servant to the people.
Yes.
And to one another. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
He's teaching here. Can you get that in your mind?
Yes.
He says, I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And we mentioned this in Bible study the other day. Jesus says, amen, first. These words that are translated in the KJV, verily, verily, are the words, amen, amen. He says, amen, first, because everything I say is true.
Right.
You don't have to ever worry about anything I say.
Amen.
I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them.
Yeah,
you know what? If we know what God says, you want to really be blessed, do what he says.
Amen.
He says, if you love me, do what I say.
Yeah.
Keep my commandments.
It's
not about an emotional thing, or do I feel a burning sensation in my spirit?
Yeah.
No. Do you do what I say? See what I mean?
Amen.
If you love me, do what I say. That's what Jesus is saying. not hearers only, deceiving yourself. That's from James. He says, happy are ye if you do them.
Yes.
I speak not of all of you. He even knew there was a deceiver there in the group. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. See, because God said it, it must take place.
Yes.
He that eateth bread with me have lifted up his heel against me. He refers to Judas here, who is still among them right there trying to put on a show, a phony show. Trying to act like I'm one of the group. But really, my heart is not with you. I'm trying to press you into a political situation so we can have political authority. That's what he wanted. See, among other things. He said, now I tell you before it comes, in other words, I'm giving you prophecy so that when it happens, you'll know that I am the Lord. Who else would know? You know what? Judas was getting over. Nobody thought it was Judas. You know what they said when he said, one of you who's going to betray me? They said, is it me, Lord?
Yes, is it me?
Everybody said, is it I?
Yep.
Is it me?
Yep.
They didn't say, oh, is it that snake over there? They didn't know. Judas had his cover. He was covered really well. Mingled in really well. They trusted him so much, he was carrying the money sack. See what I'm saying? So sometimes you don't know who you're dealing with. But the question is, are you dealing with God on his level?
That's it.
And so he goes on to say, now I tell you before it comes, so that when it comes to pass, you may believe. See, everything Jesus does, he does to strengthen your belief, your faith in him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, now this is where I want to tune in on verse 20. He that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. That means even if I send you in this room, if they receive you, then they receive me.
Amen.
I give you authority to tell people how God will straighten out their account.
Yes.
When you tell them, I'm with you. That's what he said, go and teach all the nations. Is that what the psalmist said? All you nations, praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, when I send you, you go and teach all the nations.
Yeah.
Baptize them in the name of the Father. That assumes some of them will believe.
Yes.
And teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded
you.
Yes. And he said, what? Lo, I am with you. I don't send you out by yourself. When you go, I'm going.
Yeah.
Did you know that your partner in ministry is the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
He's going with you. You don't go alone.
That's right.
You sometimes wonder, did I say enough? Did I say too much?
Mm.
And the answer is no, you did not. Just tell them how you were led by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And tell them that God has one way for you to be right. Doesn't make any difference what they say, what they believe, where they came from, who they are, any of that. None of that makes a difference at all.
Right.
Just extend the protective covering of the supernatural love of God that God has given his son for you, whoever you are. Realize that you have been dispatched by God. God has dispatched you and me to disperse the message of his supernatural protective covering, which is to be under the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, which is motivated by his great love for us. That's what his motivation is. Which was publicly displayed when his only begotten son died to pay for our sin bill completely. That's what happened on the cross. People know about the cross, but they don't know why. Why did it happen? Why did Jesus hang there, bleed and die? He was paying my bill and yours entirely. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You see, that's a universal message to the whole world. And this is purely by his grace. It's not that you and I have anything in us inherent that God would particularly care for. Although he made you to be like him. He made us in his image and in his likeness. Genesis 1:26 says. But what happened, sin got in the mix and messed it up. So before he even created anything, he had already determined to send his son. And that's the message that you and I have been called to extend, to give covering to whoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ. He displayed even greater love when he defeated the grave after 3 days and nights. And this is the only reason why we know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Who else got out of the grave and stayed out?
No one.
Buddha is in the grave. I'm not trying to disgrace anybody who's in the Buddhism, but he doesn't have a solution for the grave.
No way.
One person has a solution for the grave. There would not be a church in the world if it wasn't for the resurrection of Christ. So he has the answer that we need.
Amen.
Because no one else does. You have reason to believe in him. Your calendar is centered on him. The clock is ticking based on him around the whole planet. not something we made up or we preached as in a vacuum. Physical facts about the whole world and the existence of everything on the planet centers around Christ. So the only difference is we want to extend to you the fact that you can come just like you are. You don't have to worry about anything, any changes that need to be made.
He'll do it.
Amen.
Yes, he will. All you do is trust him.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Believe in him.
Yeah, right.
Bring all your burdens, whatever they are.
Yeah.
Bring them to him. Lay them at his feet.
Yeah,
he wants you to come. When you come, you will be saved. That's what the deal is.
Yeah.
And he'll take up the work of sanctification.
Yes,
he will. He'll move in. He'll seal you with his Holy Spirit.
Mama.
And he does that by grace. It's not that we deserve it or we could ever earn it in any way, but it's that he offers it and gives us the privilege to extend this message of this protective covering. And it is supernatural, because you know what? It's hard for us sometimes to look at people who are different than us and really embrace them with that kind of love. And that's kind of a flaw in the human makeup. God can fix that too, though. I'm going to let you know. He can fix that too. You have to allow him, give him access to your mind and your psyche. He won't invade you. He won't come in if you don't let him in. He said in the Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens to me, I will come in and sup with him." He wants you to open. He does. That's why I'm knocking. If you open, I will come in. But he won't force his way in. But to as many as received him, the Bible says, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So if that's you today, we give you that opportunity right now. Trust in Christ. If you haven't done that, do it right now. This is a good day to be saved. We don't know when the Lord will return. He can come back at any second. The next event on God's calendar is the return of Christ. Nothing else has to happen. The world is already praying for the second advent of Christ.
Yes.
In order to be ready, trust in Jesus Christ. That's what you have to do. The Bible says, if thou will confess with thy mouth Jesus Christ as Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's it. That's the good news. You will be coming under that protective covering that God has provided by his supernatural love for you. Realize that he loves you exactly like you are. You have never done anything for which he will not forgive you. He is anxious to forgive you, but he won't do it against your will. See, when you submit your will to his will, you can know that you are saved. Amen. Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for the gospel, that good news that you gave your son, and you did it for everyone, every man, woman, boy, and girl. Whoever believes in him and believes that you raised him from the dead, you said, shall be saved. And so, Father, by grace we come right now, not that we deserve anything, but like the songwriter said, nothing in my hand I bring, but only to your cross I cling. And so, Father, by grace, we come to the cross and we ask you to save whoever is trusting in you now. Maybe they have just understood the gospel today. And if they have, Father, we know you are anxious to save them. And so, Father, we ask that you would ordain that it would be so, fill them with your spirit, and seal them for the day of redemption. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Together.
Amen.
Amen. Now, maybe you are already saved and you are looking for a church home.
Amen.
And if you are, you can come today. We are here for you. We extend the red carpet to you. Amen.
Amen.
And we're here to feed you, teach you, and instruct you in God's word. Amen. So we let you know St. Timothy is blessed to be here for you. And we promise to endeavor to teach you difficult things from the word and anything that you might need to know. Amen. So if you're here today, we give you that invitation. Amen. We hope you did get a good word from the message today.